Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Is the Savage Nation. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage. Michael, thank you for the invitation and the opportunity. While he rests and takes a well-deserved day, it is a thrill to be with you on the Savage Nation. The phone number, 800-449-8255. 800-449-8255, as he continues to busily process your orders and put together what will be the most important work, I suspect Dr. Savage would say, of his professional career. I don't know. And I've not talked to them about it, but I suspect not only is it the most important work he's ever done, but I suspect he will say it is not just the most important work he's done for himself, but for all of talk radio. And for that, I am truly, truly honored and thrilled to be here to tell you about his latest book, Banned in Britain, michaelsavage.com, where you can read a lot about this today. You've been listening, Savage Nation, to Michael tell you the story of what has been a real nightmare for the man. Banned in Britain, the title, the actual thing that occurs to them. Michael Savage just experienced what I don't know anyone in American talk radio cannot possibly imagine it coming yet, but we're starting to see it creep in. Talk show hosts across the country are starting to see, in big ways and small, being we have always known, have we not, if you listen to talk radio, that hosts, both local, both syndicated, across multiple spectrums, we have seen slow, incremental creep of talk radio hosts being censored and silenced, kicked off television networks, kicked out of newspapers, kicked off radio stations, hassled, harangued by politicians and legislation, and the ultimate, really. No one has ever seen it quite so bad. No one has ever been in the crosshairs of something quite as aggressive as Dr. Savage has been in Great Britain. And, of course, if for some reason you don't know by now what I'm talking about, the ongoing Home Secretary fight versus Michael Savage, the Office of Home Secretary, Jackie Smith, the former Home Secretary in Great Britain, who put him on a banned list. And some of the reading you can find at michaelsavage.com if you want to take a peek at the book he's putting together, because no one, frankly, will publish it. It will become a bestseller in spite of that fact, but no one will publish it. So he's literally forced to work on it himself. Work on it at home. Work on it with help from his team, and sell it to you directly. If you go to michaelsavage.com, you can read a little bit about it, but the opening chapter here, Just to kind of let you in into the mind of Dr. Savage and what he's thinking here, why he's written it. He says, "Friends, enemies, and neutrals sometimes assume that he's enjoying the publicity," he writes. "People hear me on the Savage Nation getting heated in my own defense and get the bizarre idea that I'm happy to be talking about this in my life. And it's just wrong. It's simply wrong. Just because I'm standing up for myself," writes Michael, "doesn't mean I'm enjoying this right now. I take no joy in this attack, and I do not revel at having to defend myself. Don't confuse a man who's defending his honor with a man who wants to defend his honor. Don't assume a man who is standing up for himself is not a man who would rather be left alone. I spent 20 years as an expert on nutrition, herbal medicine, and alternative health. I earned 2 master's degrees from the University of Hawaii," he writes. And he goes on to give you his background. But as I said in the open here, I don't suppose with the impressive resume that he boasts, here now in the height of his radio career, he would find himself having to write a book fighting an entire nation's government and really becoming a clarion call and warning all of us, those of us that listen to talk radio and those of us that are in the profession, warning us all that it could very easily happen here. And again, we are seeing it. We have seen it. We're seeing CNN actively. Well, it's documented. This isn't conjecture. CNN has a policy now, a proven written policy that says talk radio hosts are not welcome on their network because they're not credible or whatever the silly excuse was to kick them off the network. Now, they're perfectly willing to let people engage in tweeting and Facebooking and all this social networking nonsense and use that as programming. But points of view from media professionals that don't suit management at CNN, those are no longer welcome. So if you think what's happened to Michael Savage in Great Britain cannot happen to Michael Savage in the United States of America, oh, yes, it can. In many ways, I think you can say it already has happened in that his book, Banned in Britain, again, read it at michaelsavage.com. Read the chapters. Read the preface. Read the first chapter. He's given you a peek, and you can order an advanced copy right now, and I would jump on it. No major publishing house will touch it. That unto itself, folks, is precisely what happened to Michael Savage in Great Britain. No, not government sanctioned, at least not yet. The man has to publish his own book, and I want you to stop and think about something. Michael Savage is one of the largest personalities in all of media, a nationwide figure, one of the most listened to talk radio hosts in the nation and has been for years and years now. Yet major publishers refuse to touch the book. Refuse to even entertain the notion that you would run and pick it up and make it a bestseller instantly. So who is it? What is it? Why is it? Why is political ideology so much more important even in the business of publishing? I mean, I want you to think about this. If anyone in any business operated purely from an ideological perspective to the extent they could kill their own business, choke their own personal financial well-being just to save their ideology, who could run a business that way and sustain themselves but the media? You wonder when the bailout will come for publishing houses. Some of the most successful words ever written have been in the works of Michael Savage, and they won't touch it, they won't print it. And I would just ask you, why? Is it really just a matter of ideology? Have we come to a place where major publishing houses are so ideologically opposed to Michael Savage, so afraid of him, even though they know it would sell? That's, you know, and the left charges constantly that, you know, the almighty dollar is evil, that profit is evil, and that maybe they're just living out their theory and their philosophy. Publishers don't make money. Is that it? It's just the benevolent work of publishing great things that they find insightful or acceptable. They're not in it to make money. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why socialized medicine makes such sense to so many people in publishing and in media in New York and other major publishing houses across the country. Socialized medicine makes sense because they're not interested in making money or having huge success with a book like Banned in Britain. I don't know. Maybe you can explain it to me. I'd love to know. 800-449-8255 is the phone number. You know, and you look at the headlines today, there are three that stand out to me immediately that go hand in hand. And it's not just talk hosts anymore, folks. Let's be clear that not just talk radio hosts are victims of Big Brother and censorship and intrusion into your lives. We know these town halls across the country have been gatherings of liberty-loving people who have said enough's enough. And I feel the encroachment of government and the heavy hand of government. It is creeping and creeping and creeping progressively into my life, and I want it stopped. People are getting up off their couches in ways we have not seen in decades, arguably ever, with this kind of passion and this sort of motivation and self-interest. People are headed to these town halls to tell their elected representatives no. As well you should. Because it's not just about Michael Savage. It's not just about talk radio hosts. It is about everything from what you're making. If you're an executive out there, I know there are a number of high-level executives that listen to the Savage Nation. This Pazar, Kenneth Feinberg, official government title, special master for compensation. I mean, it's a stunning thing. We have an unelected, appointed czar. The name just creeps me out. Pazar, Kenneth Feinberg, who now has the ability to regulate salaries of individuals running individual private companies out there if they took government money at any point. Not from this day forward. He can even retroactively go back and physically dig into the accounts of executives in this country who have already earned a wage. This guy has said, courts be damned, you have no recourse, I am the final say. I have the ability to reach into your pocket and take from you what you have already earned. Now, we can have on another show on another day whether certain Wall Street executives have benefited by questionable means. And I know Michael Savage has discussed that on this show a number of times. But more to the point, the broader point is there is an individual appointed, not elected, in the federal government that is now quite literally getting physically into people's pockets and taking from them what they have earned. And to that end, the IRS. IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman said the U.S. scored a huge victory in persuading Switzerland to turn over the identities of 4,450 Americans with secret UBSAG bank accounts, and said the agency's probe is expanding. Shulman and the IRS, as a result of the UBS case, is aware of other financial institutions, law firms, and other entities that help Americans hide assets offshore. We're going to have our targets set on all categories of folks, says Shulman in an interview today. And this, House Democrats probing the nation's largest insurance companies for lavish spending, demanding reams of compensation data and schedules of retreats and conferences. 52 insurance companies have been contacted by Henry Waxman in what is an amazing display, usurpations of the Constitution, and demanding that they hand over private internal documents on how they spend their money. By September 4th, they've been given a deadline. They're supposed to supply detailed compensation data for board members and top executives. There is a war on the individual in this nation. The war was started some time ago, but certainly it came to a head. Banned in Britain is all about it. Dr. Savage has been writing about it. It came to a head in Great Britain when Michael Savage, just for the speech of the man, he's now kicked out of a country. And you think that can't happen here? You think Whale Talk radio hosts haven't actually been banned from the country or haven't been physically yanked off the air yet? You have no proof that what happened to Michael Savage in Great Britain, Chris, could happen to him here or could happen to talk show hosts here. And what has it got to do with me anyway, you may say to yourself? Well, the fact of the matter is, I just read a stack of stories to you. If you're an executive, if you work for a company, they're coming after you. Line up. Stand tall. Now's the time. Banned in Britain is a clarion call. It is a roadmap now going forward how to stand tall and fight this and beat it back before it is too late, before Michael Savage is effectively banned in the United States of America. You think it couldn't happen here? Well, I just named three stories today that certainly seemed to indicate otherwise to me. My name's Chris. I'm in for Dr. Savage today. It's a real thrill. Love to hear from you. 800-449-8255 on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I was shocked, angered. How in the world could I be linked with known murderers, people who have been put in prison for years for killing people, people who espouse the overthrow of your government, openly, when I am simply speaking, talking for 15 years on the radio, writing best-selling books? It was shocking to believe this is coming out of England, a country I've always loved and admired, specifically for its freedoms.
That's Michael Savage on the BBC in May of this year on the Savage Nation. My name is Chris Stigall. Glad and honored to be filling in for Michael Savage today, who's taking some time off, working on his brand new book as we speak. Almost complete and ready for your advanced order. Not being published by any major publishing house. Being published by the man himself. Why? Seems no one's willing to step up and actually publish what will become a bestseller without their help. So, Michael Savage doesn't need them. The point, the discussion, really ought to be, why wouldn't they touch it? Why are television networks banning talk show hosts like Michael Savage from their TV airwaves? Could the United States government go the route of Great Britain, as they already have, in banning Michael Savage, putting him on a list of the worst individuals you could ever compile on a list, murderers, rapists, thieves, terrorists, and a talk show host? What doesn't fit here? Banned in Britain, the brand new book. You can read chapter one from Dr. Savage at michaelsavage.com. Read some of the contents, the chapter headings. Great, great stuff. A synopsis of the back of the book. You can read that there, all at michaelsavage.com. 800-449-8255, the telephone number. So why would a publishing house refuse to touch this book? And I want you to think about it from the perspective of owning and operating a book publishing house yourself. Is it almost too obvious that they just politically disagree with Michael Savage? Is it truly that simple? From a business perspective, does that make sense? Let's go to Henry in Houston. You're first on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris, and for Dr. Savage today. Henry, hello.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. Go ahead.
Yeah, man, I'm going to just say one thing, man. Michael Savage is a hypocritical racist pig.
Okay, why is that?
I don't like hearing him.
Why is that?
Just listen to what the guy says every day on the radio, man. He's a racist, man.
No, Henry, here's the thing, Henry. Here's the way I play ball. You need to understand this about me. If you're going to make that kind of accusation, like Homeland Secretary Jackie Smith makes, you better have something to back it up. I want evidence right now of something Dr. Savage has ever said on this show that indicates to you or that gives you any kind of verifiable proof that you can make the charge the man's a racist, Henry. And if you're not able to do it right now, you're gone. Go.
Listen to Michael Savage every day whenever he tunes in. You can actually hear what this guy has to say.
Okay, goodbye. Goodbye. See, that's what we're dealing with. I'm glad Henry was first. That's the kind of lunacy that drives and supports what people like Jackie Smith are effectively able to do in Great Britain. You lob a charge. I don't know who that guy is. I don't know how often, if ever, he listens to this show. I would bet next to never. But he took this as an opportunity while Dr. Savage is out and a guest host sits in here to lob a charge. He would never be able to go toe-to-toe and make the case to Dr. Savage he's ever said anything that warrants a ban, a charge of racism. But that is the fight we are happy to wage. 800-449-8255. Your calls and comments. Banned in Britain, the brand new book at michaelsavage.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Banned in Britain is the brand new book from Michael Savage. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage, who is putting it together as we speak. He's got the first chapter. He's got the preface. He's got some reviews already written online. MichaelSavage.com is the website if you would like to pick up his brand new book. And Dr. Savage, thank you for the opportunity to sit in today as we talk about what is it exactly in this country. Certainly in Britain we already know, but what is it in this country that seems to be now slowly growing, the attitude and idea that even if it were true, what is it? What is it in this country that suddenly has led so many to become comfortable with the notion that you don't have a right to be offended anymore? True racism out there exists on the left. We know that racism in this country actually exists in the Democrat Party. Have you seen the way Barbara Boxer treated the Black Chamber of Commerce CEO, Harry Alford? That's on YouTube. You ought to check that out. She waves the NAACP letter in the face of a black man and says, hey, look, the NAACP agrees with me on global warming. What are you here telling me you don't agree? Look at this. The black organization agrees with me. Harry Alford, as a black man, sat there proudly and rightly and said, excuse me, why are you waving a black organization's letter in my face as though I'm supposed to, what, toe the race line? That's the way the left views people of color. The left believes if you're a black person, you are to think like a black person. And black people think like Democrats. Black people think like liberals. That's racism. But what is it that has become so accepted in this country, you don't have the right to be offended? Why is it major mainstream publishers who would stand to make a mint if they published Michael Savage's book, Banned in Britain, why is it they are more content to sit on the sidelines, sit on their hands, and not touch it? They're actually, I never thought I'd see it, publishing houses, as antiquated as they have become now with digital media, are passing on profit, an opportunity to print a best-selling book. Is it strictly ideological? Is that possible? They're that afraid of someone being offended? Let's go to Ralph in New York on the Savage Nation. Ralph, I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Generic radio is what you're looking for. You're in the wrong place. Because I'll tell you something. I've listened many a night and never known what side Michael was going to fall on, which side of the aisle he was going to fall on a certain issue. And frankly, that is so refreshing to me because out of the three big ones, the biggies right now, he is the only one that I can endure any longer. I can't listen to anyone besides Michael. And you know something, Chris, I'll tell you this. I find Michael pompous and arrogant many a night, and I'll say to myself, this guy's taking himself too seriously. But for some reason, the very next night, I'm tuned into my station listening for because he's the stream of consciousness, the talking off the top of his head. I'd like to see some of these listeners talk for 2-3 hours and not measure every word they're saying and be able to pull it off without offending someone somewhere at some time. It's impossible.
You know, Ralph, it's a very, and I don't, Dr. Savage, I'll certainly let him do that, and he does that often here, but I can tell you just with my experience in this business, it is, what he does is the most unique thing you're hearing on talk radio today, certainly on the national level. You're right. And to put yourself out there and be that honest and that raw and that open night after night after night as he does, and be as exposed and open to the criticism, look, that's part of it. He's a big boy. He can take it. Talk hosts get into this because that they like that. It's part of the game. But it is extraordinarily taxing. It is very, very difficult. But all you want, Ralph, right, all we all want in the United States of America is the freedom and the ability and the liberty to do it every day. We'll take the lumps. We'll take the criticism. We'll take whatever comes. We'll take the charges of racism and sexism and homophobia and bigotry and all those things. We'll take it because we're in the business. We're big boys. We can take it. But what we can't take, what saddens and quite frankly frightens us all, is when there are powerful interests that actually move to ban, shut down, and silence us. That's chilling. That is something that is... It strikes at the core of how the man makes his living and the basic cornerstone of our country, freedom of speech. That's what is so chilling about this. That is why he writes in his opening chapter. It isn't about his ego. You know, Ralph says that he's happy somehow to be talking about the crisis in his life, writes Dr. Savage in the first chapter. You can read this at michaelsavage.com. But it's wrong. I'm standing up for myself. It doesn't mean I'm enjoying it. I take no joy in being attacked, having to defend myself from being banned on a national stage. Don't assume a man is standing up for himself is not a man who would rather be left alone. That's all. Just wants the right to speak, the freedom of speech. Such a basic right in this country, and it truly is under assault. Without question, Teresa in Albany, New York, you're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Well, in Europe, it may have been about the radical Islamic thing where they were trying to pacify them by going after Savage. I think that any publishing house that published the book would probably be targeted in some way, sort of like the Google Maps out in California after people voted against the homosexual marriage out there.
Do you think, Teresa, and this, because I don't know, I'm not sophisticated enough, and I don't operate at high levels of management and business to know the business end of it, but do you suppose that, as you say, the pick your agenda, your enviro nut job agendists, are they more powerful than the almighty dollar when it comes to just bottom base? We hear all the time, profit, 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 evil profit. Oil companies are evil, they profit. Insurance companies are evil, they profit. Well, publishing houses are in the business of profit, too. And Michael Savage, if they published his book, Banned in Britain, if they touched it, if they picked it up, they'd have a hot bestseller. They would make money hand over fist. And I cannot, from a pure profit from a pure business model, I genuinely do not understand why ideologically that trumps your ability to make money and profit out there. Are they that stupid? Are they that self-destructive? Is that it, Teresa?
I think that's the hot button issue in this country. I mean, God help you if you say anything, if you say you don't think it's right, the lifestyle isn't right, or it's wrong. God help you if you say that. So I think that's the big elephant in the room here. But again, I think they're trying to keep the peace probably over in Britain at this point. But one other thing I'd like to say, as far as disagreeing with Obama, I think right now anybody who does that is considered racist. And that's what they keep throwing in our face. And one more thing just I'd like to say is that he right now, for the African-American people, he is presiding over the murder of one out of two, probably rolling over in their graves, that a lot of people support this man.
Teresa, thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Rod in Connecticut on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Sir, I must state that it is utterly reprehensible. And myself, yes, I happen to be quote-unquote African-American, but I think that's rudderless in itself. I've always been told that, oh, well, you're supposed to think like this because I've had conservative views. And it's funny because once I started listening to Dr. Michael Savage, all of the liberals that I grew up with all of a sudden thought that I was too strong for them, that I was bizarre, that, oh, he's a right-wing whack job because he believes this, when they don't understand that I was trying to do them a favor and wake them up to what was going on around them. And it's funny because people expected me to support Barack Obama, and no, I didn't. I supported Mitt Romney, and I still support Mitt Romney because I always feel that the conservative value is for the sanctity of the conservation of what the original American ideology is. Liberalism is one of the biggest forms of fascist racism because it puts you in limiting paradigms that subjugate you into what you are supposed to be rather than what you could be with free thought and the right will.
Rod, did you, I don't know if you heard me talking about this, but I think it is something, I hope, you say you're a black man, is that right, Rod?
That's correct.
Yeah, did you see this video I'm talking about, Harry Alford, the Black Chamber of Commerce president, testifying before Barbara Boxer when she waved the NAACP letter of endorsement in his face? As though, and because he disagreed with the global warming legislation presented, this kneecap and tax legislation coming out of Congress, because he testified against the legislation. Barbara Boxer waves the NAACP letter of endorsement of kneecap and tax in his face and says, hey, in essence, she's saying, Rod, and I don't know if you've experienced this before, this is what I'm driving at, and you can speak to this with authority. You've been told then by people like Barbara Boxer and the liberals in this country, hey, your skin color is black, you have to be a liberal, right? That's the way it goes. That's the way you're treated?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Oh, gosh, yeah, because people would look at me and think, wait a minute, you're not supposed to listen to heavy metal music. You're not supposed to have conservative values. You're supposed to listen to rap music, and you're supposed to be a Democrat because of what you are, because look at what the Republicans have done to you throughout the years. And I look at that, and I would say, excuse me, you are looking into liberalism history. Don't you watch the news? No, I don't watch the news, because the news is nothing but lies. The only news I need is Dr. Michael Savage every night. That, and yes, I did actually watch that, and I thought to myself, how reprehensible. That would be like if somebody was saying, let's just say, for an example, she thinks that he's supposed to do that. Well, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. Why is he supposed to subscribe to be a stereotypical person who happens to have a darker skin tone? He is a free-thinking individual. He is thinking for himself in the conservation of America of what's right versus what's wrong. And she's trying to tell him with the nerve that she would have to say, oh, no, you're not black. If they agree, you're supposed to agree. Well, guess what? If everybody is running into a meat grinder, are you going to be stupid enough to do it too? Because that's what liberalism is. You're running your mind into a meat grinder, and you're becoming part of the monotony of the robot of fascism.
Rod, you sound like a passionate and intelligent thinker out there. We're grateful to have you as a member of the Savage Nation. Thanks for the phone call today. Let me get, maybe before we go to break here, I've got to get Robin in Arizona. This is unbelievable. Robin, I'm told you, your husband, what, either got out of jury duty or was kicked off a jury pool because of Savage? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, my husband got called up for jury duty in Cochise County, Arizona. And he was the second person they came to that day, and they asked him if he listened to talk radio. And he said, yes. And they said, who do you listen to? And he said, Michael Savage. And they said, you can be excused.
Now, wait a minute, Robin. You're saying that your husband was asked as a potential juror if he listens to talk radio?
Yes, and that was the only question they asked him.
What in the world do you suppose that would have to do with anything that's being tried in a court of law in Arizona? So was it? Do you know what the case was involving? I guess you don't when you're part of a jury selection.
He was only the second person they talked to. He was shocked.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at Arizona, and I'm trying to think why that would even be a relevant question for someone that's trying to weed out someone that would listen to Savage Nation. Was it a borders language culture issue? Is it because people that listen to the Savage Nation are fiercely protective of the border? Are they trying an illegal case down there? I know you're sadly the murder capital of the world down there by illegals, Robin. Could it have been that? Who knows? But why is it relevant? That's the point. Robin, thank you for the phone call. Now, listen, I have no reason to believe Robin would call and lie about that. So if that's true, if that's going on, juries are now being selected. Do you listen to talk radio? Thank you. You're excused. You think Banned in Britain is something exclusive to Michael Savage? You think the book this man has written, being placed on a terrorist watch list, in effect, in another country, a talk show host in Britain has now been banned as a terrorist? You think that can't happen here? Jury pools are now being weeded of talk radio listeners, according to Robin. I got to believe that's happening. No, this is just the tip of the iceberg. 800-449-8255. I'm Chris, in for Dr. Savage tonight on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Clean energy is the key that will unlock millions of jobs, and the NAACP's support is vital to ensuring that those jobs help to rebuild urban areas. So clearly there's a diversity.
Madam Chair, that is condescending to me. I'm the National Black Chamber of Commerce, and you're trying to put up some other black group
to
pit against me.
If this gentleman were here, he would be proud that he was being quoted.
He should have been invited.
I got to tell you, you want to hear racism? You want to hear bigotry? There it is. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. Harry Alford, Black Chamber of Commerce, CEO and president, just a few weeks ago, testifying before a true bigot, a true racist, Barbara Boxer. My name is Chris Stegall, in for Dr. Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you for the invitation. Working on the brand new book, Banned in Britain. You know, not a shred, not a scintilla of evidence suggests this man deserves to be banned from a country, much less from a radio station or from a publishing house or from a television show. Yet he is. And he's taken it on the chin for everyone in talk radio and, quite frankly, every free citizen in the United States who values their right to peaceably assemble and speak freely. He really is, and I know he doesn't want to be, but whether he wants to be or not, he now knows he must step up to the plate and defend all of us. The pursuit of free speech, which we hold most dear. 800-449-8255 is the telephone number. If you want to read the first chapter of Michael's brand new book, which no publishing house will touch, he will publish himself, and it will become a bestseller in spite of publishing houses. It will become a bestseller in spite of the media that won't do the traditional rollout and interview format that so many morning talk shows do on television. As he's told you a number of times, they ignore him, yet somehow you seem to continue to find him and gravitate toward him on the Savage Nation, and it is because you value free speech and honesty. No ties that bind him to tell you the truth. It's why it's an honor to be here and fill in for the guy, because it just doesn't happen in talk radio these days, what you get from this show. It just doesn't happen. But if there was a way, and if there is a way, and they'll use racism, and they'll use suggest language he uses will incite terrorism. They'll say whatever they must to marginalize, demonize, castigate Michael Savage until he is effectively banned, as he was in Great Britain. I'm confident of that. While all along what we know, the true racists in the United States of America are caught on camera and on microphone every day, in big ways and small. A black man being by a white woman named Barbara Boxer from California in a Senate congressional in a Senate testimony, a black man says, "I don't stand with this phony cap and trade bill." And there's a white woman sitting before this black man waving a letter in his face. "Hey, there's a black guy in my letter here that says he's with it. Now, what's wrong with you? You're black, and this guy in the letter's black, and he supports me, so why don't you? You black guys are all supposed to think the same." Yet it's Michael Savage that's the racist? Do I really have to continue to drive this point home? Banned in Britain, the new book. Grab the advanced copy now. You can order it now. MichaelSavage.com. Let's go to Ann in New York. Ann, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris, and for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Hello, Chris. I just wanted to say I am getting so fed up with everything that's going on because Michael Savage is one of the best people on radio today. And I think they're all afraid of him. I think Washington, I think the House, I think all of them are afraid of him.
And is there any doubt, Ann? Is there any doubt if they have the will and the means? In fact, it's Michael puts it in his book here. I've got to try to find it. One of the cutaway lines in the book is a quote from Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, here it is. "Conservative radio is a huge threat and political advantage for Republicans, and we have to find a way to limit it." I'm really grateful that on the back of his book, Michael Savage will put a pull quote from Nancy Pelosi to make us ever mindful. If they have the ability, and they most certainly will try, "conservative radio is a huge threat and a political advantage, and we have to find a way to limit it." Folks, this is very, very real. And Dr. Savage is doing yeoman's work here. He is climbing a mountain that most talk show hosts would never even attempt to climb. We scream, we talk. We talk a big game. Michael Savage is out there doing the heavy lifting. I, for one, am thankful he's doing it and grateful to be here in his stead today. 800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Chris Stegall in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number, 800-449-8255. Dr. Savage, thank you for the opportunity. Dr. Savage taking some time off today on the Savage Nation, working on the brand new book, which you can buy in advance right now at michaelsavage.com, called Banned in Britain. You want to read the first chapter, the work that Michael Savage has been cranking out. Read some of the, not only the content, but some of the quotes of both affirmation and criticism of Michael Savage. It's a full-throated analysis of his ban in Great Britain by Homeland Secretary Jackie Smith, that it has not been lifted, and how very real it could be and seems to be becoming right here in the United States. It is already going gangbusters. No one wants to touch it in the publishing world, but Michael Savage doesn't need the publishing world. He has you. 800-449-8255. People really are saying enough's enough. The town halls are just one indicator. And it is becoming, I read this story from Politico today that Robert Reich, the former labor secretary under Bill Clinton, is now calling for a march on Washington, September 13th, Grandparents Day, in support of socialized medicine, in support of Obamacare. Now, my question is, do you think September 13th, Grandparents Day, if this were to materialize, Robert Reich calling for people to mobilize and march on Washington in support of socialized medicine, do you think any amount of agitating any amount of trying to generate and gin up support at these town hall meetings to counter what you across the country that are just standing up for freedoms and liberties. It's not even an ideological partisan fight anymore. It's Americans, people that still value and understand liberties and freedoms and the Constitution and the things we are guaranteed by God and our founders. These are things that Americans hold most dear. And if anyone still understands their history, if anyone still understands the founding principles that make this country great, and I believe, after having seen these town halls, I am as sure as I sit here now, I am assured that most of this country now understands what is at stake. And they have put aside labels. They have put aside conservative, liberal. They have put aside Democrat, Republican. People that still value freedom in this country and liberty in this country understand it is under assault in ways we have never seen. And so I am as confident, for the first time I can sit here and say as a conservative, for the first time in my life, I am confident that conservatives, really America-loving people, citizens of this country, will actually prevail. I used to fear, frankly, quite regularly, that the agitators of the world, the Barack Obamas, the acorns of the world, would rule the day always, because people that listen to the Savage Nation have jobs, because conservatives work for a living. They don't agitate for a living. They can't show up on courthouse steps at noon and hey, hey, ho, ho. We've got families and kids and mortgages and jobs and obligations. We take care of ourselves. We keep our heads down. We work hard. But there comes a time where we say enough's enough, and these town halls are just a start. The Tea Parties were another indicator. And I think if Robert Reich, September 13th, Grandparents Day, and others begin to call for some sort of march on Washington to support socialized medicine, I think they will be embarrassed. Would you go counter protest is the question. Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't seem to be registering with a lot of leftists in Congress. Two men in particular, Barney Frank and Eric Massa, both of New York. These are some of the most extraordinary. You've seen Sheila Jackson Lee talking on her cell phone, ignoring the cancer patient who stood up at the town hall. You have seen these arrogant that specter from Pennsylvania who continues to run around the country, go on talk shows, even after he has been shouted down and met with fierce opposition at town hall after town hall. He continues to assert, those town halls be damned, your opinion be damned. I know in my gut, my internal compass tells me the country wants socialized single-payer system in healthcare, and by golly, that's what I'm going to do. You have seen it time and again with these people. Well, here's the latest. Let's start with Barney Frank going toe-to-toe with one of the protesters at a town hall meeting. Now, this is in Massachusetts, folks. Mind you that the next two, I said Barney Frank from New York. Barney Frank in Massachusetts, Eric Massa in New York. Massachusetts and New York, no conservative bastion they. That's my point. We're talking now about regions of the country that are not traditionally outspoken or hostile toward people like Barney Frank and Eric Massa, but they've had enough. People are laying down party affiliation and standing tall for freedom and liberty and anti-socialistic policies. They are standing tall, and this is what they're met with. Barney Frank putting down his own constituents.
Why do you continue to support a Nazi policy as Obama has expressly supported this policy? Why are you supporting it?
A
real solution.
When you ask me that question, I am going to revert to my ethnic heritage and answer your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time?
What planet do you spend most of your time? Well, he this is a guy who does not like debate. Whenever he's invited on talk shows, if you've ever seen it, he bumbles and stumbles and shouts everyone down. That is his tactic. I can't watch him. I cannot watch the man on TV. But boy, when he's challenged, no, he won't have it. Let's listen to a little more. Clip 5, guys. This is, again, this woman, she makes the point. The message control that is going on, this kind of winged monkey attack that's been orchestrated by the White House. Folks, this doesn't happen in the United States of America. When you really stop to think about it, with the website that's been collecting email addresses from people that are seeing things that don't look quite right, this doesn't happen in our country. And people, again, like the Wizard of Oz, like the witch in the movie, it's, you know, fly monkeys fly to these town halls and take them out. These Americans that are showing up at these town halls are not, they're not being rallied by Michael Savage. They're not being rallied by presidents and activist bloggers. Well, in some cases, there are organizations getting out the word. But as I told you, for the first time in many of our lives, we have to take time out of what is already an extraordinarily taxing and busy day and make more time to stand tall and fight. Here's a little more.
Do you want me to answer the question? Yes. As you stand there with a picture of the president defaced to look like Hitler and compare the effort to increase health care to the Nazis, my answer to you is, as I said before, it is a tribute to the First Amendment that this kind of vile, contemptible nonsense is so freely propagated. Tim, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
Well, there you have it. Now to Eric Massa. This is even more interesting, and I think this is perhaps on tape. And I don't know how audible it is. The clip I saw was a little tough to hear. We'll play it. But this is really remarkable. A YouTube footage surfaced of this particular representative saying that these town hall meetings, turning them into media frenzies, every time it happens, they lose another 3 million people in America who see it happening, lose them, meaning in support. And he's pressed on this. We'll just play these back-to-back, guys. He's pressed by the guy with the video camera. So you're telling me even after all these people show up at your town halls and say they hate this, you're going to vote against the interests of your district? This is it. I have no words for it. It is truly stunning. Take a listen to this.
If my town hall meetings turn into the same media frenzies and ridiculousness, because every time that happens, we lose another 3 million people in America who see that happening and negate it. It changes the narrative. Every time that occurs. I will vote adamantly against the interests of my district if I actually think what I'm doing is going to help. I will vote against their opinion if I actually believe it will help.
800-449-8255. If you had a hard time hearing it, let me just say this again. Here's a representative of the people seeing the open hostility toward what he and this Congress are trying to do with this president in socializing their medicine. And he says he will adamantly vote against the interests of his district if he actually thinks what he is doing will help. He will vote against their opinion if he believes it will help them. I must tell you, I have never heard this quite, this kind of arrogance, quite this blatantly. I mean, and that says something. I don't know that Barbara Boxer, that John Kerry, I mean, pick your favorite liberal. I don't know that they have quite this candidly admitted, I have no interest in representing the people of my district. If it means voting against what they wish in favor of what I think is best for them, I'm prepared to do it. How about that? How do you like them apples? I guess we can, what, applaud him for his honesty? Makes our job a little easier in talk radio. At least we don't have to parse what they're saying. Just have at it. Thank you, Representative Massa. 800-449-8255. Apparently you work for him, not the other way around in New York. 800-449-8255. Chris Stegall in for Dr. Savage tonight. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It's Chris Stegall in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael, thank you very much for the invitation, and I do encourage you to continue to head to his website, michaelsavage.com, and check out the first chapter in the brand spanking new book that will be hard to obtain once it's finished and on sale. It's called Banned in Britain, and no one will touch it, no one will publish it. It will become an instant bestseller despite all of that. And Michael will be back with you soon to talk with you more about it, but he's taking some time off really putting this thing together, and he's put some of his life's work into this like none other. It is probably the biggest project of his life. I'm speaking for him, but I suspect he would agree, because never before have we seen the freedoms of this great country, freedom of speech, chief among them. We've never seen them under assault quite like this. And yes, I understand. You say, well, Chris, Michael Savage is banned in Britain. What's that got to do with the United States? I mean, do I have to draw that line? Do I have to connect those dots? Is it that hard for you? Of course it's not. You're seeing it. All right, to the point of health care, the health care debate, the reform package in Washington, D.C., you know, you're hearing a lot of liberals, you're hearing a lot of people suggest that it's big insurance, it's big pharma or what have you that is stopping this. You're hearing Democrats shout and scream that it. You folks that are showing up at town hall meetings are being funded or organized by big corporate conglomerates. House Democrats today probing the nation's largest insurance companies. This is really extraordinary. Henry Waxman, chairman of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, and Bart Stupak, chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations, sent out a three-page letter Monday. They are going after private insurance companies in the United States of America with absolutely no basis other than to bully, harass, punish, impugn. It's quite extraordinary. So when we talk about freedom, this is unconstitutional, folks. This is yet another example of what banned in Britain and the message Michael Savage is calling you about, screaming from the rooftop. This is what it's all about. An unsanctioned, unconstitutional, unreasonable, outlandish, outrageous probe of the nation's insurance companies demanding they turn over reams of data on how people are paid in the country, what kind of retreats they're taking, what kind of conferences they're taking. They have given them till September 4th. 52 insurance companies have been given by the almighty Henry Waxman of California and Bart Stupak of Michigan. They've been given till the 4th. To supply detailed compensation data for board members and top executives. We've got a pay czar, an unappointed, unelected pay czar, now going back, combing through records of how people have been paid, how much people have been paid, in some cases, how much people have already been paid, and he has the right, apparently, conferred him by Congress, he said in a news story this week, to go back and seize anything he deems too much pay. Well, this is an interesting turn of events. There's a story today from the Associated Press. Firms with Obama tie profit from health push. President Obama's push for a national health care overhaul is providing a financial windfall in the election offseason to consulting firms, Democrat consulting firms that are closely tied to President Obama and his two top advisors. Coalitions of interest groups running at least $24 million in pro-overhaul ads worked with Obama's 2008 campaign, and whose partners include a top Obama campaign strategist, David Axelrod. Axelrod's son and Obama's campaign manager work still for this firm that is going to get millions in ad dollars to try to sell you, the American people, on socialized medicine. The firms were hired by Americans for Stable Quality Care. Listen to this crew. Its predecessor was Health Economy Now, each formed by a coalition of interests with big stakes in socialized medicine, including drug maker lobby PHRMA, the American Medical Association, the Service Employee International Union, and Families USA, which calls itself the voice of healthcare consumers. Union thugs, big pharmaceutical, the AMA, all partnering now and paying money, as directed by the big thug, the White House goon, Barack Obama, and his team of goons. This is extraordinary. There's a story this morning, as a matter of fact, that say doctors, Forbes is reporting, doctors are furious with the AMA, just like AARP. Same deal. You have 60,000 people that have just left the roles of AARP, furious that they've been in cahoots with this president. Same with the AMA. They only represent something like a third of doctors in the country anyway, and of those, you're looking at 250,000 doctor members. Many of them are saying, The AMA doesn't stand for me.
This is as dirty as the day is long,
Savage.
Folks.
What's the matter with you all? Are you incapable of a conversation in which you talk and then I talk? You have to interrupt? I thought you were thoughtful people here to have a conversation. I'm just curious. Do you really think that's thoughtful conversation? Do you really think that advances your argument? I mean, I don't ask you to trust me. I ask you to have a civil conversation. Is it because you don't like what I'm saying, that you don't want me to say it? I don't understand your mentality. What do you think you accomplish by yelling? What do you accomplish by yelling? Ben, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it. When you're through yelling, call me.
You know, in a way, I like this arrogance. In a way, your temptation is to get agitated or get angry at the arrogance out there. By the way, welcome back to the Savage Nation. My name is Chris Stegall, in for Dr. Savage tonight. Just an honor. Thank you, Michael. Banned in Britain, the brand new book. I would really encourage you to go get a sneak peek at that first copy, the first chapter of the copies that have yet to be published. But when they are, you can get an advanced copy. You can actually purchase it now. Dr. Savage putting it all together and publishing it himself. It's really an extraordinary task. And frankly, at the end of the day, this is a guy who is waging a very expensive war with an entire nation who has banned him. And it is a fight that he is leading, not just in Great Britain, but here in the United States, because it is coming. It is certainly coming in the talk radio industry. And you, even you, the voter, the American public, you know, it's one thing for talk show hosts, people with microphones, for politicians to come after us. But it really is quite another when you take good time out of your busy day. Not because you've been asked to go, not because a talk show host told you to go, not because some organization agitated you to go. You don't like what you're hearing, you don't like what you're seeing, and you're taking the time to go, and you're being marginalized by them too. In essence, we're all now in the same boat. Some of us have bigger pulpits than others, but we're all in the same boat. Americans with voices and the freedom of speech are increasingly being marginalized and squashed by the power brokers in Washington, D.C., who believe somehow they got there without your help, or forget that they did. So let them retain their arrogance. Let them continue this campaign of, we'll operate in what's in our best interests. We'll do what we think is best for you. Consequences be damned. Well, fine. In fact, there's a headline today at the Huffington Post, Labor warning the Democrats, we will sit out the election if you oppose the public plan. So union thugs are back at it again. Richard Trumka, the secretary treasurer and likely next president of the AFL-CIO, said the Federation is drawing a line in the sand when it comes to socialized medicine, the public option. Lawmakers who don't support the provision, he said, shouldn't take anything for granted. We'll look at every one of their votes. If they're against card check, if they're against health care, I think it'll be tough for them to get support from working people. The AFL-CIO hasn't stood with working people for years. Union thuggery. It's the union power brokers that are. It's the same with the UAW. You folks, if you're a member of the union and you're still drinking this union Kool-Aid crap, you really need to wake up. This isn't benefiting you. Have you seen this Cash for Clunkers program? Have you seen who it's benefiting? Japanese automakers, which unto itself, look, car dealers across the country are free to sell vehicles, and the marketplace decides which vehicles will sell. I'm not quibbling with Japanese automakers. I just think it's laughable that the government has now taken over two American automobile companies with unions having a majority stake at the table, and now Chrysler and Fiat, as well as the federal government, have all partnered to make the next Fiat in Mexico, was the story yesterday. They're making the first Fiat outside of Italy in Mexico with the government-owned Chrysler. General Motors, same deal. They're making this new cheap little tin can. They're going to make that in Asia. And then Japanese cars are benefiting from Cash for Clunkers. So you union folks, particularly UAW folks, if you thought that this administration and all these deals and government involvement was somehow going to save your hide, forget it. It gives the power players, the Richard Trumkas of the world, it gives them a powerful, bloated seat at the table, but not you. Your jobs are still very much in jeopardy. All right, 800-449-8255, the phone number, 800-449-8255. Let's go to Springfield, Massachusetts. David, I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight on the Savage Nation. Hello.
Hi, Chris. I have a comment regarding the recording of a politician saying he'd vote against his own constituents.
Right.
I heard a couple times this morning, I just heard it now a little while ago on the show. To me, it's not, I don't think he's saying benefit them. He would vote for it even against their will if it would benefit them. It sounds to me like he's saying it would benefit him, in other words, the president. I've heard it a couple times, and you guys got better recording stuff than I do there, but that's what it sounds like he's saying to me. He would vote against them if it would benefit him, in other words, Obama.
Well, let's listen, David. It's clip 7, guys. This is Representative Eric Massa of New York saying he will adamantly vote against the interest of his district. What I have here summarized in front of me, I will vote adamantly against the interest of the district if I think what we are doing or I am doing will help. I'll vote against their option, or I'll vote against their opinion, he says, if I believe it will help them. Let's listen.
If my town hall meetings turn into the same media frenzies and ridiculousness, because every time that happens, we lose. We lose another 3 million people in America who see that happening and negate us.
It changes the narrative.
Every time that occurs. Then I will vote adamantly against
the interests. So why should we pressure your room? We should be pressuring the call.
I will vote adamantly against the interests of my district if I actually think what I'm doing is going to help. I will vote against their opinion if I actually believe it will help.
Yeah, him, them, I'm not sure, David. I mean, but the point is, no matter what, he is admitting, and it really is astounding, and I thank you for the phone call. It deserves to be heard time and again. There, I appreciate his honesty. I really do. I have to say thank you to Representative Eric Massa. He has articulated quite succinctly what we know so many people in Congress think of you. Consequences be damned, what you think be damned. I know. I believe what is best. I know what is best. This is why you go back and you read the Federalist Papers. I might have mentioned this before when Dr. Savage has been good enough to invite me to be here. I would encourage you to do that. The men that put the Federalist Papers together that were making the case for our current form of government, they understood the House of Representatives. They knew who these people were and who they had the capability of becoming. They knew Nancy Pelosi well before Nancy Pelosi ever surfaced. They knew who the House of Representatives could become. Flights of fancy, arrogant people that had no knowledge of real-world business, had no knowledge of what it actually took to make a profit or run something out there. Read it. It really is astounding. They were well aware that guys like this Eric Massa would succumb to a populist ideal or kind of sway with what they thought was the time. Not representing you, representing what was in their best interest. It's why we have the system we have in place. It really is quite remarkable. And I'm telling you, 2010 is going to be a bloodbath. And no, I don't mean literally, just in case the media matters people are monitoring, and I'm sure they are. I don't mean it'll be a literal bloodbath. I mean it'll be a political bloodbath. I'm predicting right now you are going to see the likes of an Eric Massa and others politically. You will see them shredded, slaughtered from the House of Representatives in dramatic fashion. I'm predicting a tremendous landslide. People have had it. Jonathan in Texas on the Savage Nation. Good evening. Welcome.
I just wanted to make a comment on the town hall meetings. I feel that if I personally had a problem with what was going on, I would actually show up to these town hall meetings. So right now, I don't really have a problem with what is going on. And yes, I am a Democrat. I'm a registered Democrat. I don't really have a problem with what's going on. I'm not saying I'm, full-fledged Democrat and I don't have a problem with everything. I do have a problem with some things. But here's the problem I am having. I'm having a problem with the conservative media taking these town hall meetings and making them seem like all Americans think this way. Because not all Americans think the way that the conservative media is thinking. Another thing that I wanted to say.
Well, first of all, Jonathan, let me ask you this. Let me stay with this for a second. Who is the conservative media?
Media is Fox News. It's Michael Savage. It's Rush Limbaugh.
Do you suppose that these people you mentioned, all in total, do they have a larger audience than every other media outlet out there? The other cable news networks, the mainstream networks, all the newspapers, and the Internet. Do they dominate, do you believe?
Okay, I believe that, yes, okay, I know Rush Limbaugh is one of the most listened to, and I know that Bill O'Reilly is one of the most watched shows on television. But here's my point here.
Here's my point, and I need you to answer my question. Do you believe any of these people, do you believe any talk show hosts, combined or standing alone, have the dominant corner on the message today? Do you believe that's true?
Oh, yes, they do. They do have the dominant corner on the message. That's
Jonathan, how can you honestly say that? How can you look at the do you have cable? Satellite?
Yes, I do have cable.
Would you take an honest-to-God look when you get home at the list of offerings on your cable or satellite provider and tell me, look at the networks and honestly tell me that the general public is more inclined to be hit over the head with the conservative point of view than one on the left? Are you honestly prepared to make that case to me tonight?
Okay, I'm going to make the case to you because I live in Texas, first of all. So, yes, I will make...
Even so, television, let's focus with television, even in Texas. Are you telling me that the preponderance of Texas television is sympathetic to the conservative point of view? Honestly, Jonathan, the newspapers in Texas? Honestly, Jonathan, now, you're talking to the people here. I can smell this from a mile away. Be honest.
The San Antonio Express News endorsed John McCain as well as other Republicans.
All right, you named a paper. And an endorsement in a newspaper does not make it a conservative publication.
Hold on. Not only that, but the rest of the news stations here, they report for the right. They don't ever say anything about the left and how the left does this or the left does that. Plus, not only that, all of our elected officials happen to be right as well. Not all of them. That's changed.
Jonathan, one of your congresswomen was on this freaking cell phone talking while a cancer patient was speaking out to her. Do you actually support that kind of thing? Is that what? That's a Texas representative on a freaking cell phone while a cancer patient said, "I'm concerned about what you're doing." Now, that's from Texas, Jonathan, and that was nationwide.
There's a Texas representative that also wanted to vote for having guns, having people with gun permits carry guns on college campuses.
Yeah, and what's wrong with that? It's a freedom issue also, Jonathan. That's a freedom we're granted in the United States of America. It is. It's in document form, I believe, actually.
Have people go around, just like the guy in Virginia Tech, happen to get a gun and just, you know, go through the system, get a gun and go and shoot up a campus? Are you kidding me?
Jonathan, I don't know what to do for you, buddy. I don't know what to do for you. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, you're not... How do you have a... I guess this is what Barney Frank feels like, I guess. This is what Barney Frank was saying? What did he say? Having a conversation with a kitchen table or something? How can anyone say that with a straight face? The man lives in a world where he truly believes that the preponderance of media is sympathetic to the conservative view. That is befuddling. You can't have a... Okay. I mean, if we can't agree on that, then what logical conversation... Okay, Judd, you get it. Albany, New York. I'm wearing out here, Judd. Poor Michael. Every day. This is what Dr. Savage does every day. I'm just a guest. I don't know how he manages, Judd. Welcome.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you about possible loss of freedoms that people might not be anticipating here, and you spoke about that in the last half hour. I had lunch last year with a friend of mine from Canada, and we sat down, ordered a burger. I ordered a medium rare. And he looked up from his menu across the table from me, and he said, and I'll never forget it, "I forgot you can do that here."
You know, that, in fact, Judd, listen to this story today. Topeka, Kansas. Police warning local bicycle owners they could face up to $76 in fines and court costs if they're caught peddling unlicensed bicycles. 27 cyclists in Topeka, Kansas have received citations that include a $10 fine plus $66 in court costs for riding unlicensed bicycles, Judd.
Not using gas. You know, I mean...
I don't mean to make light of your point, but that's exactly right. This is what happened. It's not overwhelming traditionally. It's slow, steady trickling.
And
right?
Man, oh man, I listen to every year in my school, we are very fortunate to have a Holocaust survivor come in and speak to our students as they read Night by Elie Wiesel. And what she says, and I know I'm getting into a taboo area here with this Nazi stuff, but she just says it was very slow, meticulous, very carefully planned, and you know, and that's how they got away with what they did. But aside that point aside, what I wanted to say is, you know, it's these little things that people take for granted now. That, you know, look to the north. Everybody tells us, look north, look what Canada has. Well, look at Canada. Talk to some people in Canada and ask them what they can and can't do. And I was shocked.
Well, Judd, in fact, I've got a story on that coming up, too. Thank you for the phone call. You know, and to Judd's point, that call, that last call from Texas, it really has nothing to do with the health care debate, but he, you know, he brings up guns. And what does he do? What does he do to justify or call radical? Your right to bear arms is radical to that guy in Texas. That's the kind of cancerous, toxic thinking that is going to bring you socialized medicine, that brings you fines for peddling an unlicensed bicycle. A crazed, sick shooter on a college campus now has a Texan in the United States of America convinced that your right to carry, your right to bear arms in the United States of America is something that ought to be curtailed because someone killed on a college campus who was out of his gourd. This is how it happens. Or some sad sack story about somebody that doesn't have health insurance now means the overwhelming majority of this country, who poll after poll after poll, who said we don't want anything to do with this and we're happy with the current system, or at least we're better, more happy with the current system than we are what you've got proposed, you're being ignored. Well, all I can say is God bless Talk Radio. God bless the Savage Nation. God bless you for being here. 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage tonight on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Man, trying to have a conversation with you would be like trying to argue with a dining room table. I have no interest in doing it.
It's the Savage Nation. My name is Chris Stigall for Dr. Savage tonight. Thank you, Michael, for the invitation. Banned in Britain, his brand new book, not published, not touched by any major publishing house. Why? Well, you know, I sat during the break, I have to say. I was talking with some folks on Savage's team here and just ruminating with my own thoughts here. Caller from Texas who was trying to genuinely make the case to me that overwhelmingly – media in this country is sympathetic to the conservative cause. And to the extent that Barney Frank, I agree with him there, arguing with that point of view is like arguing with the table. How do you have that debate? I mean, this is a guy in the state of Texas, folks, and really you have to – liberalism, Michael Savage said it best in one very simple-to-understand sentence, liberalism is a mental disorder. And here's a guy in Texas – who said to me, with a straight face, and I was so befuddled. It doesn't happen often in my talk show career, and frankly, it makes for pretty poor talk radio, admittedly, honestly, usually, that I was so flummoxed and so stunned that he said with a straight face, most media in the United States is sympathetic to conservatives. And number two, with genuine shock and horror, that there was a Texas congressman who offered an amendment to, I know, get ready, legally carry guns on a college campus. And he cited the Virginia Tech shooter of a few years ago as why that is just crazy talk, why that's just outrageous, forgetting that we have a constitutional amendment and basic bare rights to bear arms in this country, just forgetting it, just out of sight, out of mind. And I said during the break, I was talking with people during the break, I said, how is it that people operate that way? How is it that they believe? And all I can conclude, they see these town halls, hundreds of people gathering mad, outraged, trying to keep government at arm's length, trying to stop this march. It so offends their sensibilities and their cocoon of their mental disorder called liberalism, they figure it must be manufactured. It's got to be a movie. It's got to be straight out of Hollywood. There's no way the American people could possibly be this genuinely mad, this mobilized on their own volition. No, it's very real. You'll see how real it is in 2010.
Savage.
Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. Chris Stegall filling in for Dr. Savage tonight, and I appreciate the invitation, Michael. Thank you very much. Banned in Britain, the brand new book you must go online to order because no major publisher will touch it. Much like the nation of Great Britain, you can read select emails disclosing how the British government colluded to destroy Michael Savage's reputation and his name. You want a first edition and the first print. You want to read the first chapter. And some of the work that's going into this, banned in Britain, only now at michaelsavage.com. It will become a bestseller, and I suspect they will be snapped up faster than they can be printed. It is an amazing, amazing story, though, that no major publishing house will publish one of the most popular talk show hosts in the country's book. So he's doing it himself. Good for Michael. More money for him, I say. Not that he's out to seek a profit. Not that he's out to seek fame. He's been very clear about that. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need either. He's doing fine, thank you very much. This is truly about one man's fight, standing up really for everybody. It's called Banned in Britain, the brand new book, and I hope you'll look at michaelsavage.com and read a little bit about the book if you're not familiar with it. Meanwhile, also at michaelsavage.com, the double flip on public health, no public health, White House falling into full retreat yesterday after over the weekend they said, yeah, well, look, a public option's not necessarily got to be part of the game plan here. We don't have to have it. Well, the unions came unhinged. All the wacko leftists came unhinged. And boy, when you've ticked off now your leftist base of support and your Barack Obama and this Congress, what have you left? Independents are now siding with conservatives. Gallup just said every state in the union now dominated by conservatives, people that consider themselves conservatives. And by the way, it is the point that I know Dr. Savage has been making, and many folks in talk radio, certainly I have always held the position, there are a number of people that call themselves Democrats that lead their lives as conservatives. Conservatism is not exclusive to a party, folks. Most people view themselves as living a conservative lifestyle, holding true to conservative principles and ideals. Conservatism is a way of life. It is not a political strategy. Liberalism, however, is nothing but a bunch of empty promises and campaign slogans and buttons and emoting. That's the difference between conservatism. Conservatism is a way of living. Liberalism is nothing but a bunch of empty, artificial promises. There is a tremendous difference. Emoting, emotion, making decisions based on individual, you get one elderly grandmother who can't afford health care, and suddenly the 80-plus percent of the country who's just fine, insured and happy with their health care, all of us now must compromise. All of our health care, everything we know and hold dear in terms of freedoms and free markets must be compromised and sacked. Our standard of living must be brought down because someone needs to be brought up, or at least brought even. That's socialism. It's that simple. And look, there's a story today. 800-449-8255, the phone number. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be difficult. In fact, the easier we make this, I think the better off everyone is. And you take a look at what's going on in Canada. You've got Canada's doctors, as we speak, gathered this week, talking about what do we do? Our system is going bankrupt. What do we do? How do we fix this? We're not just teetering on the edge of the cliff, we're plumb off the cliff. How do we fix this? We're plunging to the bottom of the gorge here. Vancouver patients needing neurosurgery, treatment for vascular diseases, and other medically necessary procedures can expect to wait longer for care. NDP health critic Adrian Dix said Monday. Dix said a Vancouver Coastal Health Authority document, this is in Canada, Vancouver, Canada, shows it's considering chopping more than 6,000 surgeries in an effort to make up for a dramatic budgetary shortfall that could reach $200 million. It hasn't been yet announced by the health authority, but these cuts are coming. The health authority confirmed that this document is document that's coming is genuine. It is a planning document. It has not been approved or implemented, says a spokeswoman for the health authority in Canada, but they acknowledge it is real. The president of the British Canadian Medical Association called the proposed surgical cuts a nightmare. Why would you begin your cost-cutting measures on medically necessary surgery? I can't think of a worse place. This is from the Vancouver Sun today, a Canadian paper. This is not a conservative newspaper. This is not a talk show host manufacturing a story. This is Canadian reporting on their own marvelous system that our Congress and our president would love nothing more than for you and I to embrace. They are now discussing cutting 6,000 medically necessary surgeries in the hopes that they will be able to stop what is a $2 million shortfall in their system. Now, do you honest to God think that's not going to happen here? Do you think that can't happen here? In France, there was a guy on CBS this weekend who was suggesting, well, look, yeah, there's a lot of problem. Yeah, there's a huge deficit. Sure, doctors' pay is capped by the federal government between $50,000 and $100,000, but you know what's great? When I go to the hospital for a six-day stay and a surgery, maybe cost me $200 out of pocket. That's it. That's how short-sighted and idiotic liberalism is. That's what socialism's all about. This attitude of, hey, you yourself won't have to worry a bit. You won't have to pay much out of pocket, if anything at all. Yeah, but what about a $200 million shortfall? Well, I don't know. That's the government. That's not me. That's how crazy and disconnected from reality union mentality and liberalism has become. They don't see. That's the irony to me, folks, about this union, yes, country first, buy American, Walmart is evil crowd. The same people that tell you all the time, you know, that, boy, you buy American cars first. And, you know, Walmart's out there buying from China. And these big box stores are evil. They'll say that in one breath. But then if it means shredding the free market healthcare system, shredding a sixth of our economy, just so that it emboldens their unions and ratchets up a public deficit so that they don't, out of their own personal pockets, have to pay too much to get to the doctor regularly, if it means not costing them individually any money, they'll shred our entire economy. They will shred our freedoms and liberties. You union thugs, I'm talking to you. I want to know how it is you're constantly shoving in the face of everyone in the United States, union, yes, buy America first, Walmart is evil, you know, no more exporting of jobs, and American jobs are lost. How do you then explain rooting for a system that is bankrupting other nations, that will most certainly bankrupt our already bankrupt country, just so you can stay at the hospital cheaply? Boy, that's really pro-America. That's really big of you. How patriotic. Union thugs love to wrap themselves in the flag, buy American cars, say no to Walmart. But boy, if it means they don't have to pay a couple of bucks to go to the doctor, everybody can walk in whenever they want every time they sneeze, and they don't pay anything, they feel better about themselves. Screw the country. Screw the taxpayer. Screw the company they work for. It's such hypocrisy. Vancouver Sun, check it out. Thousands of surgeries may be cut in Metro Vancouver due to government underfunding. It is a very, very simple equation. When the government tells a doctor's office, when the government tells a hospital, when the government tells your insurer, this is the money you're allotted. Here's your allowance, Sonny. Make it last, because you're not going to get any more till next month. Well, if there's a line a mile deep of people that need treatment, you're going to have to figure out who gets treated and who doesn't. You can't just take on insurmountable debts. People are going to have to manage their money just like you and I do at home. And when they get their government allowance of money, what does it do? It actually forces you and me to turn on one another. That's the sickest, most insidious part of all of this. It forces you and me to actually compete with each other for a doctor's time and attention. If you're sick and I'm sick, under a socialized system like is going on in Canada now, like this president and this Congress is trying to shove down our throat, it will force doctors and hospitals to determine in a budget crunch, and there will be budget crunches, whether you're sicker than me or if I deserve that surgery over you this month. Is that where we wish to head? It's this simple. It does not have to be complicated or nuanced. It is this simple to understand. 800-449-8255. Chris Stegall in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I'm Chris Stegall, and for Michael Savage tonight, Dr. Savage, thanks for the invitation. And I do hope you'll go to michaelsavage.com, pick up a copy. You can order it in advance before it even goes to print. Get one of the first print editions of Banned in Britain, arguably the most important work Dr. Savage has ever put on paper to date. Banned in Britain, now at michaelsavage.com. You can even take a peek at the first chapter, read the index and some of the comments. It's really fantastic reading, plus all the news of the day, michaelsavage.com. This, I'm surprised, was allowed to be released. The Centers for Disease Control today and Prevention, that is a government agency, is it not? Right? CDC? They just released news today. The Associated Press reporting U.S. life expectancy has risen to a new high, now standing at 78 years old, according to the government. The increase is due to falling death rates in almost all leading causes of death. Well, thank God, then, Barack Obama and Congress are going to do something about our health care system. This is bad timing. I can't believe the CDC was allowed to release this. How about it? The death rate, the life expectancy in the country has just risen to a new high. The nation's infant mortality rate rose slightly in 07, but the rise was not statistically significant. It's been about the same level for several years. It's not a shock. Medical care improvements can improve infant survival, but it also means some troubled pregnancies now make it to infancy before death. So in other words, our medicine is so advanced, women are carrying children that actually end up dying once born. Well, if Barack Obama gets his way, as he voted in the state legislature, he would have seen to it they'd have been need to waste any time. And then there's this problem of the increased population of elderly. It's likely the increase will hold up, they say, because the growing number of elderly increases in the country. That's a real problem. You've got all these babies that are coming out of troubled pregnancies and being born, and then you've got all these old folks sticking around. Got to start shaving that off. 800-449-8255. Let's go to Karen in North Carolina. Karen, I'm Chris, and for Dr. Savage tonight, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Chris. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I don't think we'll have to worry about that life expectancy staying up high for long.
Maybe not. What's on your mind?
You know, I have been a self-employed hairdresser for 15 years, and at no point have I ever had health insurance provided for me because I work for myself. If I want it, I buy it myself. And I have had it for some periods on and off, and right now I don't have it. But it has never crossed my mind that the government should take care of my health.
Now, Karen, you're a perfect example of someone I would love to talk to. You are counted, and there are millions of people like you, Karen. You're counted as one of the 50 million people that are uninsured in this country. And, Karen, I have insurance. I have a private plan I buy for my family and me. It's quite affordable for all five members of my family, including me. But, Karen, shouldn't I feel guilty? Shouldn't I do something for you, Karen? You've just told me here you're a small business owner and you don't have health insurance, Karen. What should I do for you?
Not a thing. It's not your job. It's my family's job to take care of my family. I mean, am I crazy for believing that way?
But, we're being led to believe, Karen, the only reason you don't have it is because you can't afford it. Is that true? You just can't afford it, and isn't it sad, and shouldn't we help, Karen? Because don't we all need—what if you get sick, Karen? What if you get sick?
Then and I go to the doctor and pay for it. I mean, I've never believed that the government should hand anyone anything. You work for what you want in this country. I'm so frustrated, and I'm 33 years old. I feel like I've aged 20 years in the last 8 months. I got and tired of hearing how I should feel bad, or like you said, people should feel bad for me because I don't have health insurance. Well, you know, I also am in school full-time. I'm going to nursing school, and now I'm worried about that. I mean, am I going to have a job that's going to pay me $8 an hour by the time Obama finishes with it?
Karen, you hang in there. You hang tough. I'm sure glad you called. Karen is a great example. She is probably representative of the biggest chunk of people you keep hearing thrown around. Sans the illegals, who are also counted. But you have just heard a picture-perfect example of this statistic. The vast majority of us are insured or have the ability to get insurance or medical care if we need it. The vast majority of us. I'm talking up in the 80th percentile. And those of us that don't have it, most of them are Karen. Most of them are Karen. And yes, I know you can find, and they're within earshot of this show right now, is a sad sack story. You can find it with anything. We were just talking before the show began tonight. Why do people act as though healthcare is somehow different than if your transmission blew on the way to the job and you're having a tough go of it and you're barely making ends meet and then your very expensive transmission that you couldn't possibly afford to fix blows? You have no means of transportation to get to work any longer. The government should buy you a car? I think most Americans wouldn't say yes to that. How is healthcare any different? Why do we treat it as differently? And by the way, I suppose you could say with cash for clunkers, the government's trying to buy you a car, too. Let's go to Orlando, Florida, and Doug. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight on the Savage Nation. Doug, hello.
My call. Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Question for you. What do you think, in your opinion, is the difference between the concept of public education versus a public health care option?
Zero in terms of how it's funded. Have you ever known a public school system that ever said we're getting by fine on the money we have?
Well, no, of course not, but...
I mean, that public education and versus public health care, same deal. I mean, when was the last time you heard a school board say, thanks, we're fine, taxpayer funds are just enough for us, we don't need any more?
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. Chris Stegall in for Dr. Savage tonight, and thank you, Michael, for the invitation. The book Banned in Britain, first edition. You want your copy, michaelsavage.com, where you can not only order it in advance. It's Michael's latest work and probably his most important, at least in my opinion, if you value your freedoms, your liberties, your freedom of speech, not just in this country. But now it's an international phenomenon. American talk show host, who thought, at least one so far that we know, banned in another country. Likened to terrorists, really extraordinary. It's an amazing story and one we're glad that Michael is telling. Again, it's at michaelsavage.com. 800-449-8255, the phone number, 800-449-8255. The headlines speak for themselves. You know, lest you people on the left think that this is some sort of conservative cabal, that there's this mass conservative conspiracy or plot to stop your brilliant scheme of socialized medicine. I just do homework. People are, you know, the problem is with liberals, they don't believe you're educated enough. They think people, particularly in the Middle West where I come from, it's flyover country. They're hayseeds. They're running around plucking banjos and chewing on toothpicks with no shoes. They don't believe you actually read and pay attention. They just honestly believe they're the smartest. And I don't mean to impugn and suggest that everybody on the coasts thinks this way, but they're really, I have lived in both communities, on both the East and West Coast. I reside in the Middle West, and I can tell you I encounter it regularly. That term flyover country, people in Middle America, for so many in the power centers, the elite media, that's a real term. It's quite real to me. I know it. I've seen it. The Ivy League educated, the politico types in the Beltway. Certainly you hear Dr. Savage. He resides in San Francisco. You hear him talk all the time about the liberal hotbed, not just the state, but more specifically the city of San Francisco. They don't believe people in middle America. They don't believe people in the South. They don't believe the study Gallup just rolled out with that in all 50 states of the union, when people are asked not about party affiliation but how they lead their lives, all 50 states in the union, the majority still say they lead their lives in a conservative way. It's total disbelief to them. It's as though it's a fiction manufactured on a movie set or something. But you do read. You are paying attention. Another Gallup poll just last week said 7 in 10 Americans are paying close attention to what's going on. It's why shows like The Savage Nation have never enjoyed bigger, broader listenership and appeal than they do right now. Because you care and you are informed. You're no longer content to sit on your couch at home and just be spoon-fed lies by most of the anchors at the news desk. You're reading on your own, and you're finding headlines like the Vancouver Sun that say thousands of surgeries in Canada may be cut due to government underfunding. You know the state of budgets and deficits in the United States of America. You know the poor $787 billion that was just blown out in the name of stimulus didn't work. A majority of Americans, this was reported just yesterday, don't believe that stimulus package worked. 57% in a USA Today Gallup poll believe it has either made no difference or worsened the recession that began in 2007. And they want to do more. They just want to keep spending your money and socializing industry. They are going after executive pay with something called a pay czar. Did you ever think we'd see the day? You're reading it. You hear it. They're expanding a tax inquiry. They're using the IRS now to seek and destroy. Douglas Shulman, the commissioner of the IRS, said the United States scored a huge victory in persuading Switzerland to turn over the identities of 4,450 Americans with bank accounts through UBS so they can continue to dig and probe and expand, get their tentacles in the private affairs, because if you've got a Swiss bank account, that means it's inherently dirty and evil money. The government's out to get theirs. Democrats, just this Monday, sent a letter to 52 insurance companies. They're not getting their way publicly, so they're now out to do what they did to big oil when gas got up to $4 a gallon. They're now out to make the case. They're going to dig and probe into the private affairs of private industry. They're going to use their power unconstitutionally, but they're going to use it anyway, because really, who cares about the Constitution at this point? I mean, we've already shredded it 8 months into this presidency. Why stop now? We've taken over two car companies. Who's to stop them? Pay czars. Who's to stop them? Got a tax cheat running the Treasury. Who's to stop them? There is no stopping them. Except 2010, and they know it. So they got to giddy up. That's the point. Henry Waxman, chairman of the House and Energy Commerce Committee, and Bart Stupak, chairman of the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigations. 52 insurance companies have until September 4th to supply detailed compensation data for board members and top executives, as well as a table listing of all conferences, retreats, and other outside events with company facilities from January 07 to the present, paid for, reimbursed, or subsidized in whole or in part by your company. 52 private companies are being plucked at random out of the blue with no justification to make a political point. It's just the audacity, the lack of constitutionality here is, it's clear for all to see. It doesn't take a conservative talk show host to convince the American people. You liberals, you people that think that this is some sort of anomaly, that these town halls just aren't the pulse of America. It's just a handful of rogue crazies, gun-toting nutballs. Well, I mean, I'll just say enjoy the rest of this year and into next. Enjoy your year. Because by this time next year, you are going to say goodbye to a great number of Democrats in the House of Representatives. And I suspect the Senate as well. So you got to giddy up. They're in a hurry. They know. They're up against the clock. If they don't get this thing done by January, we're in campaign mode. I mean, let's face facts. Members of the House have only got to the end of the year. Because once we get into 2010, the year of 2010, we're now campaigning. Memories aren't that short term. Let's go to Texas again. A lot of Texans today. Chris on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris, in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Hey, I wanted to talk about how the plan that Obama's proposing compares to the European plan. What they've got over there in Europe, where they're taxed like 40% out of all their income, you have to be a citizen of the nation in order to partake in these benefits, whereas Obama's just wanting to increase our debt and give it to everyone, regardless of whether you're a citizen or not.
Yeah, and I think France might be the exception to that, but that's their problem specifically. France is a come one, come all. You walk in off the street, you get it free, and they're broke. They're belly up. You know, and it again, the Vancouver story, you got to read it. They anticipate a $200 million shortfall. They have estimated 6,000 medically necessary surgeries are going to basically have to be prioritized, bumped, because the system just can't sustain it any longer. So it looks good. Chris, the thing is, it feels good. That's the deal about socialism. It feels good to the individual. Hey, it's free. No skin off my back. But it's that greater good. You know, we're always told, you know, buy American, the flag-waving unions, buy America, support America. Yet these unions, they are the first to step up and make it all about me, 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 me. What do I get? What goodies do I get? What government-guaranteed bennies do I get? Screw the company. That's what brought General Motors. That's what brought Chrysler to its knees. These unions and this mentality is what's brought some of the finest industries in this country to its knees. Unions have done it. Now it's just a union mentality for everybody. What do I get? Gimme, 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 gimme. Yeah, but I don't know if the company model can sustain everything we're paying you. I don't care. Gimme, 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 gimme. What's mine? Give it to me. What do I get for free? I'm entitled. It's mine. What are we, a nation of two-year-olds? Let's get to Veronica in Arizona. Veronica, you're on the Savage Nation. Hi.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me on. I've heard several audio clips with Maxine Waters talking, and I don't think I've heard anybody that vehemently against any one group of people since Madame Defarge in A Tale of Two Cities. She's attacking these insurance companies, you know, and she's a part of this Henry Waxman, let's get on the bandwagon and make these people look bad so our H.R. 3200 sounds good. And I'm just amazed. I'm absolutely amazed. Who do these people think they are? Do they think we're an ignorant public? We will fight this.
And you're winning. I mean, let's be very clear, Veronica. You, we, the people are winning. That's what's so... I hate to sound like Michelle Obama here when I say this, Veronica. But I don't want to say for the first time. That's not true. I'm always proud. But today, this period of time in our history, I don't know if you'd agree with me, how proud are you of your fellow citizens, of Americans today? They are standing up, and it's not, I know, believe you me, I know something when it's orchestrated. I know something when I've personally taken to the air, I've heard talk show hosts take to the air and say, you know, charge the hill. I've heard it. I think immigration. Look, I know Dr. Savage and other hosts fought the immigration, the amnesty for illegals. That was flood Capitol Hill. Call them, call them, call them. It was beaten back, and I think it was largely led by talk radio. But this, Veronica, these town halls, they're organic. There's not enough organization among any of us on any level in talk radio and big business because these people are all going home for the congressional recess. They're holding individual district and statewide town halls. The organization isn't there. It can't possibly happen. It's fundamentally impossible to coordinate something like that. These are just Americans, Veronica, that are motivated to get up off the couch and take matters into their own hands and say, enough. I am as inspired, really, to be an American as I've ever been because it works. This works. When we, the people, really stand up, mobilize, and speak out, it still works as the founders intended. And isn't it inspiring, Veronica?
This is the America that my father went to Korea and fought for. This is it.
Veronica, thank you. You keep that battle up. Keep up that fighting spirit. That's what's so important. Please do not, whatever you do, wherever you are, if you have the opportunity to go shake the hand or meet your senator, your congressman, now is not the time to peel back. Foot off the gas pedal. This public option thing, whether it's on the table, whether it's not, whether it's a head fake, whether it's not, it doesn't matter. Cooperatives, don't buy into that. Co-op is just another fancy word for public option. They want to take taxpayer money and juice the system to get it started. And when you put government funds into anything, the government has a stake. And that means the government, this Congress, this White House most specifically, will have control. If you believe a government-funded cooperative is somehow free and clear of government control, then you must believe the government has no hand in General Motors or Chrysler or Fannie or Freddie or any of these other institutions that we've been reading about lately. And do you believe that? Can you honestly say with a straight face government hasn't been meddling and handling those companies directly and aggressively? Of course they have. So this co-op notion, whether the public option's on the table or off the table, but co-ops, we'd be, you know, and don't let Republicans, incidentally, get away with us. Well, now you're talking. A co-op seems like a more, no, mm-mm. A true co-op, that would be great. A government-funded, a government-juiced, a government-started co-op, no. Same deal. Public option in bureaucrat clothing. 800-449-8255. Chris Stigall in for Michael Savage. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. I'm Chris Stigall in for Dr. Savage, and I appreciate you being here, Savage Nation listeners. And I know Dr. Savage appreciates you going to michaelsavage.com and grabbing the first edition of Banned in Britain. Not going to be sold traditionally in stores, not going to be published by any major publishing house. They won't touch it. This is too dicey for them. It will become a bestseller. It will sell quickly. If you want one of your first reserve copies, Banned in Britain, you want to read the first chapter. It's an amazing piece, and I think probably Michael Savage's most important work. It really is a story of our freedom and our liberty under assault in ways we've never seen. And yeah, you may think, well, it's in Britain. Yeah. No, I think we're seeing in big ways and small, it's quite real here. And now's the time to mobilize and stand tall. It is something you want to arm yourself with as we head into the fall. And these stooges get back from their congressional recesses and go back to Capitol Hill. Banned in Britain. Read a little about it. Order it now. MichaelSavage.com. Let's get right to the phones again and go to Mike in San Francisco. Mike, you're on the Savage Nation. I'm Chris in for Dr. Savage tonight. Hello.
Chris, pleasure talking to you, bud.
Thanks for the phone call.
I'm a union electrician, and I have a problem with the unions, to tell you the truth. There's rumor out here that car washers are trying to form a union, and it really irks me. I believe the union belongs to the skilled trades, electricians, plumbers, what have you. I don't see, you know about our transit strike that was diverted out here.
Yes.
I'm sure. And a janitor for that transit system makes as much money as I do. Whereas I've had to go to school for 6 years to learn my trade and perform the responsibility of safety for buildings, families, and houses, and everything. And that's where I believe the union goes overboard.
Well, then you, and Mike, you make the point. At least in your membership, as you're talking about skilled labor, all skilled laborers are held to a standard. They almost achieve a certain level of skill. But these unions get so broad and all-encompassing, like you said, it's outrageous that a guy that drives a train is making the same money as a guy that's sweeping the platform.
Exactly, exactly. That's the point I'm making. The union is there to protect the rights of the laborer, not to make them rich if they're a high school dropout.
That Mike, I couldn't have said it better. And that's, you know, and it really is. Those are the folks that have this debate held hostage. I tell you, and it's an interesting, and thanks for the call, you are going to see now. What you will see in play is union liberalism on full display at war now with the rest of the country. You will see it. This is what's happening. Let me go to another Michael in San Francisco, who, what, a member of the union, Michael? I hear you say the union's not to blame in this. You're on the Savage Nation. Hello.
You know what? You can't. You're putting all the unions in broad spectrum. You can't blame all the unions for this. There's no way. I mean, unions train. When you go to a job and something's union built, you can, the unions stand by your work. You go to a job that's non-union, most of those companies don't stand by their work.
Well, here's what I want to know. Who stands with the American people right now? When I read the headline today at the Huffington Post, Michael, Labor warns Democrats, we'll sit out election and we'll run ads against you if you oppose a public plan. If the majority of the country does not support this, and very powerful, very financially solvent AFL-CIO membership and their president say, we're going to hold a gun to your political head, and if you don't do what we want, despite what the country wants, we will actively work to defeat you. I mean, what am I, as an American who's not a union man, supposed to believe? What am I supposed to make of that, Michael?
Man, right? You believe everything that comes out of the media? I mean, what's...
Michael, it's his own words. This is Trumka, Richard Trumka, the Secretary Treasurer and likely next president of the AFL-CIO. We will watch every one of their votes. And if they're against card check, if they're against the health care for that reason, it will be tough for them to get our support. Those are his words, not mine. We'll oppose them. It's not. I'm not making it up. These are his own words.
I didn't accuse you of making it up. But you know what?
You just said, do you believe everything that comes out of the media? And I'm telling you, I'm reading a story with the man, the head of labor's own quote. He will seek and destroy anyone that doesn't do the bidding of the labor union.
You know what? I've heard Walter Cronkite make mistakes like that. We just got rid of some newscaster last year who misquoted something. There's a fight going on right now for who wants, you know, socialized medicine, who wants better health care. America has been messed up for a long time. This is just another fight. But I don't agree with you, and a lot of us don't. We took a poll at work today about the same thing. We don't agree that you're going to blame the unions or one man in the unions, even if he makes the power to control it.
No, the point is, Michael, that's the point. I would love to believe that you and your buddies you polled at work today were actually speaking. I would love to believe you were the ones at the seat of the table, but the misunderstanding, the falsehood of unions are, Michael, it ain't about you. It ain't about the guys you talked at work about and talked to and polled. It's about the big dogs, the big daddies, the power brokers, the power players like this Trumka. I mean, the sooner union folks realize union leadership is not looking out for you, they're looking out for a power play and a seat at the table and big floated, inflated salaries themselves and playing kingmaker on Capitol Hill, the sooner you all understand they're not out for you, they'll shut your entire operation down and hold your families hostage and your incomes hostage for their own power. The sooner you union folks learn that, the better you'll be, the better America will be.
Savage.